Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinkney to Pinkney Show. I am the Reverend.
Correct. You are listening to the Pinkney to Pinkney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinkney. I tell you, we have had quite a week this week, a tremendous week, and the week have just started, but we have been continually doing the same thing over and over and over again. And I'm just thankful that we're able to get through the day. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's been quite a week, quite a week. Still having problems around here, and we're going to continue to have problems until we can make things happen the way things are supposed to be. It's just been one of those days. Anyhow, this is the beginning of a new week. I'm expecting a lot of people to come on today. We're expecting things to happen that never happened before, and we're staying focused and doing the things that need to be done. So, only thing we can say is that let's make it happen, let's do what needs to be done, and let's move on. Because I tell you, it's been one of them days that we got to take care of things, and we're having a little difficult here, but we're going to work it out anyway. So just bear with me. Just bear with me. Thank you. I'll be back in about 2 minutes. Just hang on. All right, we're back, and we are ready to roll. We just had a little difficulty there, but we made it through, so let's move on. I tell you, it's been quite a fight. So let me bring in my good friend, Rosie Ross. Rosie Ross, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinkney, and I'm so blessed to be here with you. Wow.
After being in the hospital.
Right, for 3 months and in rehab with nursing and physical therapy after I broke both my elbows. I became like a little child, like they had to feed me and take care of me and dress me. And the pain was unbelievable and I had to have surgery, but I'm home and I'm back. It's still hard. I still can't write, but I'm trying my best by the grace of God and I'm here with you today. Wow.
Hey, amazing, amazing, amazing. Girl, I must confess, it's really been a real challenge. I miss you around here. You're one of the people who I love just to talk to and to get the word out. Tell me what is going on though with you and your case, which is something that the people need to know about.
Well, my workers' comp case, they wanted to settle, but it wasn't enough money. And at the same time, I was given 9 doctors to go see. And my lawyers, Roxana Sultani, at the Allen, at Gerby and Wynn Law Firm, Rowan Gerby and Wynn Law Firm, she just screwed me over. She would settle for anything. Which is awful. But also at the same time, everybody has to be careful because if you have a workers' comp case with your Medicare can go after you forever unless the defense says that they will pay for it and it's taken care of, whatever
Absolutely.
The doctor's bills are under the medical. So this was a big challenge, and I wasn't well enough to go back to court in October this past week, so they're now doing it in January. But they are terrible. It's 18 years, and LAUSD paying off Dr. Stahlberg and Judge Cohn, who made a medical diagnosis, who's not even a doctor. I mean, it's just sickening. They don't care who they kill. That's the state of California, and Governor Brown, he doesn't care either. And Kevin DeLeon, who's running against Dianne Feinstein for U.S. Senator, he gave us SB 863, and this is utilization review. He says he has a, he says on one side of his mouth that he's for health care for everybody, and on the other side of his mouth, he comes up with bills like this, and that will check everything you're doing. They'll have to look at your office visits, your doctors, any surgeries, any blood tests, any drugs that you have to take, any medications. And they're not going to give you what they say. They're just saying that to get votes.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Whatever happened to that judge that kind of like screwed you over a little bit?
The judge retired, and I've heard that he had dementia. He could never get any of the papers right. Anything he said, he did other things. And I've heard he's retired. And he's on Facebook, Judge Gerald Cohn, C-O-H-N, Gerald, J-E-R-O-L-D.
And he's on Facebook. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's on Facebook, the judge. And he didn't care what he was doing when he retired. I'm certain that he probably got a pension. And he probably got 100% disability when he retired. Yeah, he didn't care if he killed me over. He didn't care if there wasn't evidence. That's due process. We were just talking about that in Washington, taking away people's due process and saying whatever they want to say about anybody to convict people that are innocent, such as myself.
Absolutely.
And they made my case. I will say they made my case into a mental case, and I was sprayed in my face with the toxic chemicals from a fire extinguisher. I have lung damage, fibromyalgia, which is the nerves, and I'm totally exhausted, coughing all the time, and it is awful what happened, and yet LAUSD took the money out of the fund for injured workers, and they put it in the general fund. So they sacrificed my life and my health for iPads when they were buying them. And Charles Smith, a wonderful black teacher in Los Angeles at Gompers Middle School, which we love Charles. He's been on the radio here too. He died from being sprayed because the school district for myself and Charles refused to call the paramedics. Can you imagine it's free here in California? The paramedics are free. They couldn't clean up the room with hazmat for the chemicals. They would let us die. They'd let my students die with our nose closing, our tongue swelling, our faces burning. They didn't care what happened to us, and they couldn't call the paramedics.
Wow,
it's unconscionable. It's amazing. It's unconscionable. Just kill teachers. Just kill students. And they keep saying, oh, we care about the students. We care about their safety. Bull. You heard bull? Big bull coming in. And they could care less. They got the money in their pockets.
They got all the money they need.
Right.
Yep.
In their pockets. And the kids, education that we're all paying for, the parents should get up and say, you're ruining my children's education. Reading, the math is at the lowest levels. The kids can't really graduate and be ready for a junior college or college. They're not prepared. They're making the kids dumb and dumber. But I'm paying for their education, and I know some of them are legal, but the parents ought to stand up because our money is going for their education.
Very, very
right.
Good. Well, yeah, but since you've been away though, Roz, there's a lot been going on in some of the stuff that, you know, you probably heard of. also, you know, that since they overturned my conviction, things have been pretty difficult around here for some of the people because they cannot believe that such a thing could happen here in Bering County. We've been tearing them up. We've been, like, I still continue to court watch, and we go over there every day just about, or every other day, or especially on Mondays, and we're able to tell them what to do, the one that will listen, because there's a lot of people who won't listen. And when they don't listen, they don't quite understand exactly what's going on. So what we want to do, we want to keep them busy. We want to keep them going. We want to keep them doing what needs to be done. And here's the thing. We want to stay focused on really the big issue. And we've been so successful at this, fighting and winning, trying to make things happen around here, and staying positive, which is the most important thing. People never understand what you can do until you come together, fight together, stand together, because they care less about you as a person. They care less about your children. They care less about what they're doing. And they're going to continue to do this until they get tired of doing what they're doing. So we're living in a time, Roz, that seems to be a little bit unusual, but this is the time. Like here in the city of Benton Harbor, there have been 9 bodies found in the lake. It's been over a period of time, but I should say in the river.
Okay.
But they have continued to do what they do, and we have to do what we have to do in order to protect the residents here in the city of Benton Harbor and around the country, because they're coming after us, whether we like it or not. They're coming. So we just have
right.
to stay focused and do what we need to do. But, Roz, listen, you got about a couple of minutes to say whatever you want, and I got to move on. I got to bring in my man from Chicago, and we got a lot to talk about today. We seem to have a full house, so we're going to keep it busy, but I always enjoy talking to you. I miss you, Roz. I'm sorry that you ended up in the hospital, but we're going to continue to let people know about your case, and we're going to continue to broadcast your case so people can understand. But, Rozzy Roz, I want to thank you so much for being on the line. Thank you for being you, and we're going to move this thing to a whole different level, and I'm going to bring in my good friend, my guy, the man of the moment, Robert McKay. Robert McKay, are you there?
Good afternoon, Pastor Pink. I'm here listening to you.
All right. How you doing today? How you feeling, Rob?
Oh, feeling good. Just a little distressed about some of the issues that are going on around the world in our neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm. And but you got a major victory with that McDonald case. I think that was a major victory, even though it's small, but it's a victory. You know, what we have to do with every victory, we got to stand up and count these victories, because we're not going to get many.
Right, absolutely. And we have to be careful, because when you look at this victory, you know, they still have an appeal process, and they can always come back and shock you. We had a case here just this year. This officer shot and killed the grandmother and behind the door, and the young man, Antonio Legrier. The jury in that trial determined that the shooting was unjustified.
Uh-huh.
However, prior to the trial, there was an interrogatory, a questionnaire given to the jury. And one of the questions was, did the officer fear for his life? His name is Robert Riamo.
Mm-hmm.
And they answered yes to that question. The officer was in fear for his life. However, the evidence showed that, it's similar to Laquan McDonald shooting, this guy was nowhere near Quintonio Legrier or Betty Jones, but he killed both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And once the jury determined that the shooting was not justified, essentially, that was a conviction. The defense attorney brought out the interrogatory, the questionnaire, showed it to the judge. The judge read it, where he was in fear for his life. The judge says, well, since he was in fear for his life, the shooting was justified. And she reversed the jury's verdict, and the man walked. So
wow.
We have to be careful. You know, they continue to say that Van Dyke was in fear for his life.
Yeah.
So there may be a loophole they put in there that we are not aware of. But we have to stay on track of this, you know, because
absolutely.
It's a victory. It's a momentary victory. You want to make it permanent right now because that's an appeal process has to go through.
Absolutely.
So,
let me say this, though. With that case alone, I saw the McDonald video. I cannot see how this young man can claim that he was in fear of his life with this young man. Is there any way that you can see this?
Only his statement. That's what they all say. I was in fear for my life. The woman who shot the young man in Oklahoma claimed he was reaching inside of his vehicle to get a weapon, but the window was
uh-huh.
up.
Yeah.
She claimed that she was in fear for her life, and she walked.
Hmm.
So there's some who... Go ahead.
Yeah, and what about that little 12-year-old boy that was shot? I think he had supposed to have a toy gun or something like that, and they shot
in Ohio.
Him. In Ohio. And yeah, which is so amazing. So what they're using to get off is that I fear for my life. That's a weapon that's in their toolbox.
That's
to help them
absolutely.
Get off.
That is correct.
Wow. Amazing.
And the young man, Tamir Rice in Ohio,
mm-hmm.
The moment he shot him, this guy got on the radio and said he appeared to be 20 years old. There's a 12-year-old boy. But he appeared to be 20 years old. So that they put language in there for their defense. They make it up as they go. These are made up executions. They do it, and then they give you language that will get them free. So they understand that the world is watching on this process. This is nothing less than genocide. The United Nations Resolution 96I. December 11th, they gave the definition of genocide, and it fits the criteria. That criteria fits in this country, in the black neighborhoods, more than anything, more so than it did in Europe. But here, they continue to get away with it. They create this language in order to, once they come up, and that is so important why these people fight to get their appointees on the Supreme Court. Because they realize that once they get them on the Supreme Court, they're going to rule in favor of the establishment. Because the Ku Klux Klan lost a major lawsuit in the 1990s. I think they had to pay the federal government over $37 million. And they promised that they would be back. They said, we'll be back in black robes, pinstripe suits. Some will be wearing stethoscopes. So they're out for blood. And that was the hidden language, the code words they use to say we're coming back after you.
Wow! And you know what? And what they said was the truth, because right now they dressed up in black robes, stethoscopes.
That's right.
You name it,
that's
they
right.
got it.
Pinstripe suits. Right.
Yeah. And you know what? And I can honestly say here in Benton Harbor that you know that our justice system is full of them, and what they do and how they do it. And they get away with it. But, you know, my argument is this. If the people stood together, we could win some of these important battles. We can't win these battles unless we stand together. And they know they got us so divided up that we don't even know which way is up.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's the people's minds have been programmed or conditioned to react to the system. So they have, that's the advantage they have over the communities, over our leadership. So it's difficult. It's the handwriting's on the wall of what they're doing and what they have done. So there's a huge struggle. And there's a science behind that. Social engineering is a science. And that's that's how they apply this nonsense to keep our communities in disarray, divided, separated, and conquered. So where do we go from here?
Right. Now, you know, I tell you one thing. They're doing a great job keeping everybody divided and fighting with each other. It's a tool that they have in their toolbox that they use against the people and keep everybody at this, you know, fighting. As long as they're fighting with each other, they're more or less confused and don't know which way is up. And I'm always excited to hear that, you know, that whenever we get a victory, because I know that we don't get a lot of victories. And one young man told me earlier that he said that's such a small victory that you couldn't even tell whether it's a victory or not. He said because they always can pull a rabbit out of the hat, and pretty much
right.
just like in my case, they more or less see the prosecutor should have known that there was no such charge as forgery on a recall petition. He should have known that.
Absolutely.
I think they know these things, but they figure you don't know. You see, most of the time, the average person that goes into the courthouse, they really don't know. They don't know what's
going
on. They
don't know.
They don't have a clue what's really going on. And here's what they're trying to do now. Trying to pass a law. I think you read that article they had in the newspaper in reference to now they were trying to get a law to say now you can have forgery on a recall petition because they didn't have one before because there's no such law. There's no reason for it. If there's a recall, see, you can make a misstatement on a recall petition, which way it's supposed to be. And it's like that in most states. Most states, you can't. There's no such thing as forgery on a recall petition. Very few states have that, but there are some who do have it. But unfortunately, the people don't stand up for it. Forgery on a recall petition is ridiculous because if the signature is no good, all you have to do is cross it out. Don't count it.
That's right.
It's so simple that, you know, that it's a waste of time to try to say that you should have a law that says that if you even if you write somebody else's name on the petition, your job is to compare the signatures, and if the signatures is not the same or you think there's something wrong with the signature, all you do is cross it out. That's always the norm. But now since Disney has come around, they want to make a law that says that now if someone forger, how you know if a signature don't match, they're gonna charge the person that circulating the petition with forgery? That doesn't make sense. You know?
They make up these crimes as they go. I don't know if you recall reckless eyeballing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That was a crime they made up just for black people, for black men,
mm-hmm.
or vagrancy. Those are crimes that they may still be on the books some places in the South, but those are crimes that didn't exist before. But because we're going after them, we're going to create reckless eyeballing.
Absolutely.
And that was about you walking right. Reckless eyeballing is when you. You're walking on the street. You could be on the sidewalk, and someone Caucasian is coming towards you. Now you better look at the ground because if you look at it, if you stare them in the eyes, they'll call in a complaint and have you arrested for reckless eyeballing.
Wow!
And
that's one of the things that really intimidate black people anyway, because black people don't believe black people. They believe white people. Black people, even when I'm at the courthouse, I would tell them, I would say, well, look, don't plead guilty. Wait until you see what kind of evidence they got. He said, my court-appointed attorney told me that they got too much evidence. Well, let's see the evidence. I said, it's simple. But he said, if I do anything, they going to send me to prison. But they're going to send you to prison anyway. If you walk there thinking that something different. So that's really what that adds up to, which is so amazing. But the key is to stay focused and do what needs to be done, because that's crucial. And we need to learn to understand the law and learn how to fight the law. Because
right.
There's a lot of stuff, and a lot of people are in prison today because they didn't understand the law. They didn't have the
right.
And you're not going to really get no help from these court-appointed attorneys. You're not going to do it.
Oh, no.
That is not going to happen. So, you know, so you got to be aware of that and know where you're going and what you have to do. But one of the
right.
things that we have discovered, I know you talk about this a lot. You talk about the Kerner Report. Give us a little history about that, and which I think is crucial. I think people need to know about that, because people need to understand who the problem and what the problem really is. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, basically, the Kerner Report is the official title is the Commission to Study the Civil Unrest in this country. And that President Johnson on July 29th assembled a group headed up by the former governor of Illinois, Otto Kerner. And I think there were two blacks on there. One was Roy Wilkins with NAACP and Ed Brooke, the senator from Massachusetts. And there, Fred Harris is the only surviving member right now of that commission. He came to Chicago this year in February for that week of commemoration of the Kerner Report. And he stated back in March that there's nothing changed. In fact, the conditions are worse for the black neighborhoods. And the report was released. President Johnson assembled that group on July 29th, 1967, and they completed their report. Their findings came out February 28th, and it was released to the public on March 1st, 1968. That's 1 month and 3 days before Dr. King was assassinated. And I always say that had Dr. King lived, he would have addressed the issue of the contents of that Kerner Report. And to show you it's how ironic it is, Jet Magazine, on April 4th, 1968, the cover story was President Johnson addresses the Riot Commission report. They were preparing to push it under the rug because of the excitement and the confusion after Dr. King's assassination. I'm sure no one really looked at that, but that is the April 4th, 1968, the day they assassinated Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Mm-hmm.
They published that in the Jet Magazine. And to show you how contrary these people are, you know, in addressing our issues, the following week, April 11th, 1968, the Jet Magazine came, because they published it weekly. They published another story in their I think it's called National Report. But that National Report dealt with the another issue. Are you familiar with model cities?
Oh, absolutely. I think I think it started in Chicago, didn't it?
Well, actually, it was 26 countries. 26 cities
uh-huh.
that were dealing with the model cities issue.
Okay.
And the model, and here the National Report of April 11th, 1968. There's one section in the Jet Magazine. Negro workers excluded from model cities, while the Labor Department conducts drives in 26 U.S. cities to prepare Negro youth to pass apprenticeship tests in the building and construction trades. The Johnson administration quietly contracts to exclude Negro workers from the multi-million-dollar model city program, NAACP charged in the nation's capital. In a blistering attack, NAACP Labor Secretary Herbert Hill charges that President Johnson's aides quietly approved an agreement to enforce non-discrimination in the building and construction trades. It was only in the rehabilitative sphere. I guess that's rehabilitation coming out of prison.
Mm-hmm.
A small fraction of the proposed Model City program. And it says, no attempt would be made to guarantee that Negroes work as carpenters, plumbers, or electricians on new construction. Hill charged that the pact was worked out by labor and building industry with full knowledge of government aides. And see, the youth today, they're accusing the people of that generation, the so-called baby boomer generation, of letting them down, not following up. But this was all a conspiracy. What we have going on now, that was the beginning of social engineering at that time. And back to the Kerner Commission report. Now, Samuel Yett, an author, he's also a professor, but he's deceased now. I think he passed away about four or five years ago. But he addressed it in his book, The Choice, by Samuel Yett. And he talked about how, with the Kerner Commission report, it stated in their summary that the person who actually blew the whistle on Dr. King and the riots that were going on in this country was J. Edgar Hoover. But his name never surfaced. But see, he was the, these young folk don't know that he was the director of the FBI for I forgot how many years, but he was on since the 40s.
Yeah.
And until he passed away. But they came back and stated that the problem was not the black community. It was the white community. We created it. We condone it and maintain it. I'm paraphrasing on that now. But essentially saying that the problems that were going on with the riots and the civil unrest and the uprising in this country was not the cause of coming from the black community. It was the white community that created it. Through poverty, through denials, through restrictions, and what have you. So people were upset about that. And, you know, they moved to make a change in that process because they said that the urban communities would become majority Negro in 10 years. And there was a move to dismantle that process of our progress in our communities because they realized that the major cities were becoming more and more, at that time they used the term Negro, and they wanted to avoid that. So they started the process of integration. We're going to put you in other communities. And they're still doing that today. They're diminishing. We're in the final stages of diminishing our communities, our voting power, our political power. Because they're moving people out into subsidized communities, subsidized buildings. And they say you can't have more than 30% poor people in these new communities of buildings. So they essentially, you cannot be over 30%. So if it's 30%, then that means you cannot elect a representative at 30%. You're up the creek without a paddle. So that's essentially what's going on now. So with the current report, there's a lot that needs to be studied by every student. There was an admission that the problems are not in the black community. You know, they throw out gang warfare. You know, in 1971, Nixon claimed that we're going to drop guns and drugs in the black community and watch it disintegrate. And of course, we live in that travesty today. We know about the Reagan administration's war on drugs. How the Contra process was set up, and they threw the drugs in our community after they came out of Colombia, and it went over to California to L.A. where the Bloods and Crips were pitted against each other, and so from that on, it's all downhill after that. Now, there's a movie out now that shows you how those drugs came into this country, into Arkansas, where Bill Clinton was governor. He was part of the process also, because the just get the movie American Made.
Yeah,
starring
I saw that.
Tom Cruise.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And they show you one end of how this stuff was set up and who perpetrated it, but they don't show you the damage it did in our communities. And what we see the damage in the news and the results of the gentrification that's gone on in our communities. L.A. has been diminished greatly with all the shootings and murders and imprisonments that have gone on there to decimate the black communities out there in L.A., and then they spread across the country, going east to Ohio, Toledo, Ohio, Chicago, Gary, and Detroit. Detroit was the mecca for the job industry, for auto industry. But where's all that's gone now? They move all of that stuff out of the country. Gary, Indiana was a major steel mill over there, U.S. Steel. They shut it down because they started getting steel from outside the country. So those jobs are gone. Any kind of manufacturing, any industrial jobs, they moved it outside the country and imported the products back in here and eliminated the workers. So that Kerner Commission report spells a great deal and shows if we study that, we can see the conditions because we're living it today. So I have purchased 21 copies to share with these aldermen, these proposed people who are going to run for office here. If they have not studied this and understand the problems in our community rather than say, well, you know, it's crime and drugs and guns, without understanding how this stuff has been perpetrated, they're no use to us. So this is what we need to do. We need to understand the issues. We need to study, research, so that we can show this. I mean, people say we have the paralysis of analysis, but if you don't analyze, if you don't understand it, you'll never get to the bottom of it. And that's what they expect you to do.
Absolutely. Let me say this to you, because here in the city of Benton Harbor, we've had 9 bodies that have been pulled up. Some say 10 bodies that have been pulled out of the water, and so, but they don't understand the cause of it. See, they don't understand how this all came about. They don't understand what needs to be done here, because what I see here, I see the mind has been underdeveloped for a reason, and how they have got people thinking, let's go do a vigil, and we can solve the problem with a vigil. Knowing that that's not the, you know, that's a vigil is not going to do anything to solve the problem that is taking place here in the city of Benton Harbor. They won't do a vigil for the people that's killed. They doing the vigil for the shooting. They say they want people to stop shooting and all that. Well, look, in order to do that, you have to go to the root of the problem. And the root of the problem is that we need to start pulling ourselves together, start setting up programs, and start building our city up to be what it is. So the Kerner Report is something special, and what I see, person could learn something if they would have came to court, and even court watch. If you was at my trial, and tell us some of the stuff that you saw at the trial. You was at the trial, at my trial. Tell us some of the stuff that you saw that's important, so people can understand exactly what is going on. Because a lot of times people don't understand what's going on. They think if it happened to Reverend Pinckney, it'll never happen to me. You see?
Well, you know, yeah. What I see is that you circulated petitions to recall the mayor, Hightower.
Right.
James Hightower. Right. And it was done legitimately.
Yep. Well,
what got them upset about it was that they James Hightower was protected by Whirlpool and the other corrupted elected officials over there in Benton Harbor and Berrien County. And because you were successful in getting enough signatures to have that recall referendum placed on the ballot, The petitions, once you turned them in, they were in their possessions for 2 weeks, and then they came back and stated that the petitions appeared to be forged. And then they said that they declared that they were forged, that you forged the dates on 5 petitions, which is ridiculous. So you were charged with that, forging the dates, not the names, the dates on petition sheets.
You're right.
And it turns out that to summarize that, at the end of the trial, the closing statements of the prosecutor was Septic.
Right, Mike Septic.
Mike Septic. He declared to the courtroom, to the jurors, that we don't have any evidence that Reverend Pinckney committed this crime, but we know he did it. And the judge participated in that corruptive verdict. He instructed the jury that you don't need evidence for a conviction. So that showed to me, and I'm sure the entire courtroom, except the jury, that there was a railroad job, that the judge was involved in it also, along with the prosecutor, that you were being convicted with no evidence. In fact, that there was no crime committed. But they went on and declared. They made up a crime for you, like reckless eyeballing. If you want a black man walking down the street in the South in the past, and he looks at a white person, and it was that crime was so ridiculous. If they were changing a mannequin, a white mannequin, in a store window, and you viewed, they caught, they could say that, you looked at this naked mannequin, a white mannequin in the store window, you could be arrested for reckless eyeballing. So this is that crime that they claim you committed did not exist. The Supreme Court finally confirmed that there was no crime committed. And now they've come up with a new law in the state of Michigan. I think I don't know if it's been passed yet. You could tell me that.
By the House. It's passed by the House. The House passed it, it got to go to the Senate now.
All right, let's go to see, and that should be stopped, because here I read an article in the Herald Palladium newspaper that they named this, they mentioned your name 2 or 3 times in this article, that this crime was committed by you, and they didn't have all their I's dotted and T's crossed, so therefore, if you came back with this same crime again, you wouldn't be able to get away with it. So they are lying in that article, and that article supports their argument that you committed a crime.
Absolutely.
So go ahead.
Yeah. Let me say this. The judge himself, when doing that process, he told the jurors also, whatever decision you make, it's going to be final. Now, that was big. That was big, because even if you make the wrong decision, it don't make a difference. We don't care long as you find this man guilty. If you find him guilty, it will not be overturned. That's what that was the big thing that really should have got the news media. There was News 57 was at the trial, and the girl there, she was there, and she, when they said guilty, she cried like a baby, and she decided that she wasn't going to work for News 57 anymore, because they wouldn't let her tell the truth. You know, they cut out most of the tape stuff.
Right.
Only thing they wanted to know was Pinckney, jury found Reverend Pinckney guilty. That's what they wanted. And that's all around it. But here's the big deal. When Sheriff Bailey went to the Republican Party meeting, he made the announcement that we have convicted Reverend Pinckney with no evidence, and they gave him a standing ovation. They said the Republican Party started cheering like I was a rock star or something. And they have finally got me, and now he's going to jail, and he said he will be going to prison, because we know that, and the judge haven't sentenced anybody as of yet, but they already had it planned what they was going to do. And it's unfortunate that we as a black person have to go through stuff like this.
Well, you know, that's been the history in this country since we arrived here aboard those slave ships in chains. I mean, we're brought here for two purposes, to pick cotton and or tobacco. And once that has been accomplished, machinery does that now. They no longer need it. It's a disposable commodity. Brought you here to do a specific job. Didn't come here as a migrant, immigrant, settler, refugee, or alien. So that means that you came here as something else other than that. Then you don't have any rights. The process of that, the mentality that goes along with that, is that the people who come in here as immigrants, and I don't have the figures before me, but I know every year they tally the number of people coming out of these countries into this country as immigrants, so-called immigrants or aliens. But then they're declared to be citizens once they go through a process, which we still have not been declared or don't get the benefits of the struggles that our ancestors went through, including the most recent ones. You know, in 1964, when President Johnson signed the Civil Rights Act of that year, they declared two federally protected classes, blacks of African descent and Native Americans. And someone looked at that. I'm sure some of these racist politicians, Democrats and Republicans in the South, said this is too great of a benefit just to give to these people. So we're going to create a protected class for white women, Pacific Islanders, Hispanics, on down the list. So all LGBTQ. So they're getting more benefits from the Civil Rights Act and laws than we get. And we were the brunt of the attacks on this whole process. So we're not going to see any achievement until we take it out of this realm. You know, that same joke that goes on about L.A., I'm sorry, not L.A., but Vegas. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Right.
What happens in America stays in America. It has to be broadcast worldwide. But then there has to be substantiated with hardcore evidence of genocide. And that was established, again, December 11th, 1946, United Nations, UN Resolution 96I.
Yeah.
United Nations Resolution 96I. And that spells out the crime of genocide. It gives you a whole description, what the penalties are, and everything. So
Wow. This
is what needs to be exposed under that realm. There's what stays here. You try to go through the Supreme Court. We know who was just appointed at the Supreme Court. Never should have been confirmed. This Kavanaugh guy. He's more damaged than Clarence Thomas. But they confirmed him anyway. Right. So it goes to show you, they'll put a criminal on the Supreme Court, a pervert on the Supreme Court, just to pass their laws. So that's what we're doing. Right.
And here's the thing, Robert. Remember this. They don't care anything about justice. All they care about is putting their people in place. And this is
that's what
they've been doing for years, putting their people in place. And here's what's important. And here's what we don't get. They work together against the people, and the people don't see it. And the people don't understand it's more of us than them. And
if
there's more of us than them, we should be able to overthrow them. See, one of the things that happened here, how they work together, they don't even have to like each other in order for them to work together. Liking each other don't mean nothing. And this is a message I'm trying to get around to people. It's not important whether we like each other. What's important is what we do and what we continue to do. There's nothing more important than that. So we got to focus and do what needs to be done and continue to fight and stay strong. And we can win. We can beat these folks down. You know, and here's the thing. all while that Kavanaugh thing was going on, they just gave a big tax break to the billionaires again. Nobody knew that will continue. Absolutely. See, everything you do, if you see it come going on here, it's a camouflage. You see,
right.
The rich is going to get richer, and the poor is going to get poorer. And they don't care
nothing right.
about no Medicaid. They don't care nothing about no health insurance. They don't care about
no.
none of these. Because they going to get the best care anyway. So that's important.
It's to show you.
Here's another thing that's important that I think that we should bring up. These hospitals, they're using, you know, when people go in with a cold, with nobody dies from pneumonia no more. And you find out in a lot of these, not just here in Barron County, not just here at Lakeland Hospital, but people are dying from pneumonia and different things like that. And I think they're using body parts. I believe they're selling body parts like never before.
Yeah. Well, that's
yeah.
the intent. They're targeting over 3 billion people, perhaps 3 to 5 billion people, to take them off the planet. Mass
mm-hmm.
Disease, mass infections, mass murder.
Yeah.
And it's really, if this same thing was going on in Iraq or Libya, they would say that these people, this government is killing its own people.
Mm-hmm.
But because they have control of the media and control of the government and appointments, they're not going to say that because they went after Gaddafi because they said Gaddafi is killing his own people. They went after Libya. Libya. Saddam Hussein in Iraq said he's
yeah.
killing his own people. So when you have this, then who makes the determination? They sent the United Nations after him. Will the United
mm-hmm.
Nations come here to this country to assist with the intervention of black folk being killed here, shot down like dogs? No, because that's controlled from this process here. So until we can wake the people up, because we're so distracted with Beverly Hills housewives or preachers of wherever or of Atlanta or L.A.
Detroit, L.A., all over. But here, what we you know, a lot of people miss the point. Gaddafi was doing more for his country and his people than this country ever did for his people.
Right.
This country has never did as much for their people as Gaddafi was doing for his people. But Gaddafi made one big mistake. He wanted to put a satellite up in the sky. And they
right.
didn't want the Africans to have that. That was
right.
a no-no. You, as a black nation, cannot have a satellite overseeing nothing.
Right.
And that
right.
was the big with Gaddafi. And Gaddafi was no
right.
longer going to use the American dollar. That's another thing. See,
that's right. He was going on the gold standard.
That's right. Because they had all the gold that you ever wanted was in Libya. And this country went in there and raped that country. Raped them.
Right.
You know, and now they're doing everything. They selling even human beings as slaves over there now. They're doing all these things to destroy black people. And you know what?
Right.
I see the Russians and I see the Chinese coming together and beat this country down. I see it happen. They got all kind of weapons now. It's unfortunate that I still got to live here. But I see it coming, where the Chinese and the
mm-hmm.
Russians going to come together, and they going to beat this country down. They're going to beat this country down, and this country deserves
yep.
to be down. But unfortunately, I'm living in this country, so you know, so that's the way it has to be. You know, in order to make things right, I'm willing to make the sacrifice. We make to make things right around the world for everybody, because this country is a treacherous country, a scumball country, low life, and as you can get, all the scumballs here, and they control everything.
Right.
Listen, I just here, take the final word. You got 2 minutes to say whatever you want, and time almost just about ran out for us.
Well, I'd like to say in closing that we need to get back to understanding where we are, who we are, and what time it is. And understanding your history, understanding where you are now, so that we can make some progress. I mean, the youth, the children coming up behind us have no direction to follow. I should say in the mass, the grassroots. We have some who are making accomplishments, but overall, the large body of our communities, of our neighborhoods, we're losing out. And we're so distracted on, as I pointed out, with these distractive television shows or distractive movies, like the Black Panther movie that came out. So many people were discussing that, but after that's over with, the discussion is cleared up, the smoke is cleared. Where are we still in the same position or same conditions or worse? So we need to continue to read, understand, and know the history so that we can make some changes and have people go in a different direction. And as I stated before, the Kerner Commission report is a good start. That's not the beginning. It's not the end, but it's a good point to read and understand so we can make some progress in the future. Get the children prepared.
That's right. And, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because one of the things that we have here now, we have what they call the Sheriff Department. They're now inside our school system. The Sheriff Department is controlling Benton Harbor High School. We no longer have a school board. We have a CEO inside the school system. That tells me that we are no longer operating as a school. We're now a business. We got people in and out of the school system. We got the Sheriff Department running the school along with the CEO. Parents are intimidated, but they should have been intimidated a long time ago. Take care of your children. You should have been challenging. You should have been challenging the Benton Harbor School Board even before they brought in the CEO. We don't take the time out to go. We're too busy to go and check on our children. We're too busy to go check up on our elected officials. We're too busy to do anything that's productive. And this is really just the way we have been. We got to change the way we do business. We got to stop sitting around here doing exactly nothing. We got to stand up and fight because we're all going to end up in prison if we don't watch ourselves. I remember when they was hanging people. They claimed only 4,000 people were lynched in the South. But I would say it's close to 20,000. I would say this. And not one single person went to jail. They was killing people in the streets. The police officers were. They were actually killing people in the streets. Nobody was going to jail. They even had what they call a bait truck full of gym shoes that they would use to get people to try to break in the truck. And they put a piece in there to locate every single pair of the gym shoes. They was monitored. They was monitoring the gym shoes as you take them. And that's what they was doing in the city of Chicago and around the country. They have used this system to criminalize everybody who they can and to destroy the Black community. And we're allowing it. We have to say no more. And we got to stop all this backbiting. We got to stop all this other stuff that we're doing. We need to stand up and say no more. It's time that we move this thing to a whole different level. And it's one for all and all for one. We used to be a family, a great family. I remember when I could walk down the street and everybody saying hi to you and everything is so, I mean, we stood together. If there was a problem at school, we stood together. Now we're so divided up that we won't do anything. We got a problem with our school system. We got a problem with our court system. We got a problem with our elected officials and their sellout. Every time we get a mayor, he become a tool in Whirlpool Toolbox. Even our present mayor today, is a tool for Whirlpool. I would never believe it. If I had to bet on it, I would say no, no, no. But I'm to say yes, yes, yes. And on that note, we have just ran out of time. Next week, same time, same station. Talk to you soon. God bless you.